flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, before we get back to the calls, welcome back. Hour number two. Good to have you with us right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. The DOC is in the house. AMAC alongside on the other side of the glass. Be nice to him when you call in. I am merely the rooster, Chris Russell. Doc, you know what just became official? One day after officially announcing Brian Schottenheimer as the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. You know the name, obviously. You know the voyage, if you will. 39 years old. It seems like Brian Schottenheimer's been around forever. But he's only 39 years old.
Yeah, well, this old man was a stud. I like Marty a lot.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you're privileged.
Yeah.
And you've been in the game since birth.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in a position now by title only.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
But the Cowboys just made an interesting move official.
Mm-hmm.
They have hired Matt Eberflus as their defensive coordinator.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. Now, the former Chicago Bears head coach is not going to have to worry about managing a locker room, per se, or a clock, so that's good. Mm-hmm. What people are going to forget is that Eberflus was
a beast.
I think he was their linebackers coach before moving on to Indianapolis to become their defensive coordinator and then moving on to the Bears.
There, yeah.
He's, you know, like people are going to laugh about this move because they look at Eberflus as being a village idiot. I think this is a good move for the Cowboys.
I agree.
And it gives also, granted, not a good one, it gives a first-time head coach in Brian Schottenheimer a second head coach. And obviously it also means that Mike Zimmer is not coming back as their defensive coordinator after just 1 year replacing Dan Quinn.
Yeah, I mean, and the beauty about Dallas, it doesn't really matter what these positions by title hold.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't matter. Because the players are going to end up doing what they know needs to be done. Because their guys are good enough to do it on their own. And that's basically what they do. They're that good. They're good enough to do it on their own. And when you get
when you have Micah Parsons, a lot of it helps. But they
got pressure.
But I would say mostly because of injury, I don't think they were good enough last year.
That's the only thing that stopped them was injury, yeah.
Right.
As much as we kid, they kicked your ass when you were on top of the hill.
Yeah.
And they were hurt. Yeah. They were down, you were up. and they came in and thumped you.
Yeah, and they kicked Jaden Daniels' ass in the regular season finale.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cowboys' defense, to be fair, like, to your point, I think.
They kept playing.
Yeah, yeah.
See, so they never quit. We can joke all we want, and it's simply just jokes because they have good players. They got one problem. Unfortunately, it happens to be the problem because he's in control of everything.
Yeah.
But make no mistake, the clown show they are off the field does not necessarily represent their talent on the field because they are loaded.
Jerry says he's taken more risks in the last 5 years than in his life. What do you make out of that stuff?
I don't really. He's a cartoon character to me. I laugh. I mean, he's cute. It's funny. I'd hate to be a fan of the team because he kills your spirit. As hard as those kids work, as much money as you spend traveling all over the world, you got no chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because this clown is so much of an egomaniac that he sit around with Jimmy, and they were probably once upon a time boys, and Jimmy was in, let him sit in the meetings, and he overheard it being discussed, and he actually thinks he can duplicate Jimmy, and he can't. He ain't Jimmy. Jimmy's a different dude. And that's his thing because he's wealthy. And I would assume, don't know that many wealthy people other than Sheehan personally. I guess it makes them think they can just about do anything. I guess it's a feeling of invincibility when you have money to that degree, I would assume. I don't know.
All right, let's move back to the Commanders. Obviously, what we're kind of talking about is fixing the offensive and defensive line. Which one do you prefer them heavily investing in, one or the other? If you had to choose just one, also, did experience or home field make a bigger impact on Sunday in the NFC Championship game? Lots to discuss, obviously, as we move along. We'll get into some of the quotes and stuff that I took from Dan Quinn and Adam Peters' press conference yesterday. Sam Cosmi having surgery today. I thought De'Ami Brown said something very interesting yesterday. We'll touch on all of that as we go throughout the show. We'll keep you up to date on everything NFL as well. Plus, we'll have some talk about the Capitals. Logan Thompson getting a big contract
now
extension yesterday. Capitals back in action
now
tonight in Calgary after losing Saturday night in Vancouver, and they lose so little nowadays.
It's rarity.
In regulation, rarity. And it broke that streak, absolutely. So they hopefully will get back on the schneid. Tonight. Let's get to, I think we have Jonesy back, who was with us, and then we lost him. Jonesy, go right ahead.
Hey, fellas. Listen, man, it's crazy areas in D.C., man. Not every place is hooked up the way you think it is, but it's okay. I'm back. All I wanted to really just say is we can't play referees, even though, things look lopsided, you know, on some of the calls. I'm not going for that when I got people fumbling the ball and these are major people that's been pretty much producing all year. McNichols cannot fumble the ball and we sit up there and complain about the referee. De'Ami Brown, love you, cannot fumble the ball in a key spot on our own side of the field. We can't do that and expect to be trying to win the game. And we pulled it off the last time down here with five penalties, and we should not have pretty much five turnovers, that is, and should not have won that game. We surprisingly won. We had one left this go-round, and we wound up losing. Okay, fair. Now, how do you fix this? Get us some people that can hold on to the ball and secure the ball. And you should be able to hear those footsteps coming in the dock, especially when you run in the crowd with the football as well, and not let some joker from the opposite other team punch it out. But that was a hurt with ordeal too. But anyway, it's all good.
Let me jump in here though, Jonesy. I mean, to be fair though, this wasn't a reoccurring problem with Jeremy McNichols or even Austin Eckler. Brian Robinson had the two fumbles in the regular season game in December against the Eagles, but it wasn't even a huge problem for him. So was this just happenstance and what happens in a big game and them making the right play, or was this a problem that I'm kind of overlooking? I don't think I'm overlooking it. It was a problem Sunday.
That was an issue because if you're on my team, Rooster, and if you're running the ball, and let's just say you're the running back, You got to secure the ball.
No, I understand that. I understand that. No, right. I'm not absolving them. It was a big screw up. I'm not absolving them. I guess what I'm saying is, was that just one bad day at the office, one bad moment in time? Like, De'Ami Brown had a critical fumble on Sunday too, on the second series.
I know, but are
we going to hang that over his head?
No, but if I see you fumble the ball and you on my team, I'm coming out there thinking with the same. I can't come out there and do what Rooster did. I got to cover the ball up. I got to secure the ball.
Well, sure. Sure.
As B. Mitch always say, ball security is job security. I cannot come out there and fumble the ball the way you did.
Yeah. But, Jonesy, I appreciate the phone call. Let me jump in here. Doc, they live by a mantra, and I heard it in the locker room. Ball is life, right? I mean, and every team will tell you turnovers, whether to generate them or to not generate them, right? Or not to have them, I guess I should say. Do you agree with me that Sunday was more of a bad isolated day at the office? Or was this symbolic of what we saw for much of the year? Because maybe I'm missing something. I'm not saying they didn't have any fumbles all year. Of course they did. But this was not I think this was just a bad moment in time in a critical spot.
You picked the wrong time to have that moment. You can't be ready for prime time. You can't be one game away from the Super Bowl and have your worst moment. That means you gagged. There's no way around it.
But is that on the player or is that on the coach? Because coach, I think it's player. I think it's 100%.
Unless
player.
The coach suited up, and snuck on the field, it's on the player.
Yeah, but a lot of people think like Robert Griffin III. I heard him on Coach Sheehan's show.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just because the further somebody is away from this program, the less I listen to them.
That's fair. That's fair. But
I don't listen to anybody that's not here. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not even around the team. I would never say anything that ignorant.
Yeah, but just so I can bounce it off of you, what he said was they were outcoached, and
he's entitled.
And I don't understand how they were outcoached. They were out executed. There is no denying that.
Again, he's a product of the social media era. I can't tell, and I'm like Bob a lot. Is he saying something for a reaction? Because he's in the "did I get hits" era.
Yeah.
So
that's true. He was on NFL Network on Sunday morning. How about
that? You follow? I don't.
It just happened to be on the hotel television.
No, you still. They got you. They got you.
Doc, you're a sucker. I was in the one hotel in America that didn't have ESPN.
I don't listen to damn near anything they say because I understand that they say things for alternative reasons. He's a guy trying to get hits and hooks, and he is obsessed with attention. So I don't value anything he says, although I respect him. But I'm going, why would I listen to him? Who listens to him? First of all, do I want his audience following me? Hell no. So whatever he says, I go opposite of. He's not close to these people. Nobody associates with him that's here. Here's what happened. A better team.
He was the alumni of the game a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, again, it doesn't mean they're in sync either. A lot of people do things for the wrong reasons. Yeah. They do things for what I say, for hits.
Yeah.
They want likes.
Yeah.
They want attention. They may not be in touch with reality either about what's really going on.
Are you suggesting that sports organizations do things
for
social media attention?
Absolutely they do, and good for them because they're trying to attract people and clicks and revenue.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm the only alien, one of the few aliens that doesn't give a damn. What I'm telling you is that it's a slight form of you gagging. If you have your worst performance in the biggest game, what do you call that? The moment was too big for you.
And that leads
you have
to
all the slogans all over your damn locker room you want, but sooner or later, you got to adhere to a few of them.
And that leads to the experience question and whether that was a factor on Sunday versus the home field and all that stuff.
Everybody on that field has been in a big game before.
Let's get to D.C. with us. He's been on hold for a while. D.C., how are you, man?
Great day, Russ. Great day, Doc. How y'all feeling?
Doing fantastic. Good. Better today than yesterday. The sting is not as bad.
Hard.
Yeah.
Yesterday was tough.
No. I fully understand. And it's a great topic because, like I told you, Russell, I'm looking forward to the future, man, because although the goal is to win the Super Bowl, we didn't get there, but my focus immediately turned to next year and how we can be better so we can get to the Super Bowl and win it all. And I agree with Doc. It's got to start with the O-line because our D-line, we already have a couple first-round picks and we have a couple guys that we signed that showed that they could help us. But if you bring in some young talent and a couple vets and you push that D-line, they're going to show improve. Iron sharpens iron is a saying we always say.
Yep.
So if we get that talent on the offensive line, protect our biggest asset, our greatest asset, the D-line will start showing up. They're going to have to show up because you're going to get tired of getting dogged at practice.
Well, let me ask you this, though, DC, right? If we have that philosophy, which is not a bad one, here's my question to you. Like, that D-line could look very, very, very different next year. Cleveland Farrell and Dante Fowler, both free agents. John Allen has no more guaranteed money. There's been a lot of rumors and speculation over the last year and a half that they would move on, trade him. I think that would be a mistake. Jerron Payne, obviously, has been largely a non-factor for the last 2 years since they paid him.
Agreed.
But they might be looking to get rid of him, but they might have to get, like, you know, a dime a dozen, quite honestly, for him, because I don't know who's going to pay that salary at the level of production that he has. So that defensive line can look dramatically different next year, and maybe it's better, maybe it's worse, don't know. I almost tend to think that they are going to invest more in the defensive line, especially with Quinn being the head coach and their run defensive issues, not only this year with the Commanders, but also in Quinn's 3 years with the Dallas Cowboys. I almost think that's going to be the priority over offensive line.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I like how Adam Peters is moving in every direction, whether it's draft picks, trading players, cutting players, holding on to players until it's the right time to let them go. But I'm looking forward to not just in free agency. I heard you ask Doc about free agency. In free agency, we may be able to pick up a couple defensive linemen that will help us day one next year. But I'm looking for youngins that they get in the draft so our O-line can grow with our quarterback. And our D-line, we've seen how Shelton Day and a couple of the guys that they picked up in the offseason worked on that D-line. And I have faith that they can do that again and go young in the draft and solidify this O-line with Brandon Coleman at left tackle and then fill in a couple other places that we need help, right tackle and one of the guard positions.
Attaboy, DC. Good call. Thanks, as always. Doc, you want to take one more here before the break?
Oh, yeah, man. The more the merrier.
Let's do that. Let's go down to America's favorite city, Dallas. And Kel. What's up, Kel?
Kel.
Fellas.
What up?
Doc. Rooster. What's up, man?
What's going on, Kel?
So, I'm new to Dallas. Only a year and a half. I'm born and raised in D.C.
Yes.
Grew up.
I was going to say, I didn't know you were in Dallas, but isn't Toothpick down in Dallas too?
He's in a port of suburb of Texas, okay. But of course that's because the First Lady. She's running
Toothpick
everything.
Toothpick is down here. Yeah. I've only been down here for a year and a half, but what I will say is that by the time I was 18, like I watched you, Doc. Like by the time I was 18, I'd seen the team go to 4 Super Bowls. I'd seen them win 3. I'd seen them compete pretty much every year, and I thought that was a regular thing, right? So, you know, years after 91, and then I'm in the desert. I'm starving, you know. I pick up a few tickets. I go to games, and I stopped. I just gave up, kind of, and I stopped kind of watching the games. I paid attention to the games, but it wasn't what must-watch TV. But now, I mean, they've really made it watchable again in 1 year, quick turnaround. But I say all that to say that disappointed in the loss on Sunday, but I mean, leaps and bounds above what I'm used to. So I'm happy. I'm proud of them. The first time I can really, in decades, be proud of them. And I'll say in the off season, their mission is to attack the ops. And the ops in our division right now, we're not worried about Dallas. We're not worried about New York. It's silly. So every move they need to make this offseason is to be able to compete with Philly. Philly is the mission. Beat them. We beat them, win the division, then we go on. And I'll leave you guys, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you.
Doc, thank you for making my childhood, you know, you and the Hogs, you guys were great. Appreciate you.
Kel, thank you as always. And it's obvious Kel has not let the stench of Dallas infiltrate his brain.
No, he had still clear. It was clarity.
Yeah,
it was
absolutely
nice.
Absolutely. He's not Ryan Clary. He's clarity.
Well,
he's got clarity.
You got to go down there. Toothpick's down there, but Toothpick, the first lady, is making all the decisions, so we understand that.
I hear you. That doesn't mean everybody down in the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area is a weirdo, but many of them are. All right, let's do this. Let's take a timeout. We'll get back to more calls on the other side. AMAC will spin to a break here, right here on the Team 980. And the Odyssey app. Stay with us. The DOC in the house until 4 o'clock. Greg Hoffman at that point. Stay with us on the Team 980.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Doc, we'll get to another call or two here before the trending alert. Real quickly, I wanted to tell you this. You're going to be very disappointed.
I doubt it.
Sunday morning, I'm in my hotel near the Philadelphia airport, right, getting ready to pick up Grant Paulson before the game, head to Lincoln Financial Field. I wind up in Camden, New Jersey.
Was GP escorted, limo, or just...
No. Okay. Just my vehicle. Okay. I wound up in Camden, New Jersey, though, before I wound up picking him up because the stupid GPS told me to go
Camden, New Jersey is
not the nicest city in the world and not a place you probably want to be, you know, what have you. But I woke up Sunday morning to a call from T-Man, right, from my son Tyler. And I had been up from, I don't know, like 5 in the morning until like 7:15. I was struggling to go back to sleep, whatever.
3 hours, yeah.
Yeah. And so he calls, and I was like, hey, Ty. And the first thing he does, fly, Eagles, fly.
No way.
And I was like, Tyler, DOC would be so unhappy with you right now.
No, he didn't.
No, I said the doc would not be happy with you right now because you're singing Fly Eagles Fly.
He didn't flip.
And he goes, oh, Dad, I was just busting chops.
Okay, I'm about to say, no way. No way he flipped. No way he flipped.
I mean, this was at 7:15 in the morning. I'm half in the sauce.
He wouldn't flip.
Yeah.
He wouldn't flip. He's loyal.
His dad would flip, though, right? Is that what you're about to
say? It's really not your fault.
Uh-huh.
Anybody with three options as a kid, that's unfair.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Buffalo, Jets, Giants, that's really not
tough.
Fair.
It's a potpourri.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot on a kid.
Yeah.
And the big market, big deal. It's like AMAC. He didn't flip. I thought he would. Because if you don't flip as bad as they are, that's character.
Mm.
He ain't never going to go. If he didn't go, and I couldn't get him over the bridge with the garbage they put out, and the fact that they flipped the best player in the league to a rival, how ignorant. And the guy still has a job. He's still, I can't move him. Then we go to the championship game. He still never flinched. I go, okay, he's legit. But
I mean, they can't control Saquon Barkley, though, signing with the Eagles, right? I mean, they control their end of it. They can't control the other
GM
end.
The GM has a job.
Yeah. That GM was highly, highly, highly thought of 2 years ago.
I know a lot of people have been highly, highly thought of from Buffalo.
Yeah.
And now Buffalo.
Well, but even in New York, I mean, he came from Buffalo to the Giants, and he was on top of the world along with Brian Daboll. Everybody thought, oh, this is the – and this is what I always worry about after 1 year of success, wherever you go, whatever we're talking about, and it could be the case here. Like, everybody thinks, oh, what happened on Sunday is just the start. They're going to be back. They're going to be better than ever, blah, 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 worst roster. And all of that could be true. But the bottom line is, it could quickly fall apart on you in this league. It always, not always, a lot of times it does. It falls apart on you quickly. Think about where Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were 2 years ago, Doc. 2 years ago off of a road playoff win in Minnesota and a 12-win regular season, 11-win regular season, whatever it was.
Yeah, but the gift horse here is the best player is still here. The best player is a quarterback.
That is true.
Their best player was a fraud. They overpaid the best player.
That's true.
Same thing has happened in Dallas. If you overpay the wrong guy, you pay for it. Because you can't put people around him to protect him.
That is fair.
Doesn't mean he can't play, but he needs help. Everybody needs help. And what happens if the guy gets hurt? They did a masterful job of layering their staff here. They built it, anticipating departure, as every smart CEO should do. What happens if I lose key man? What happens there? And so they've done that. But if you lose somebody, it means you did damn well. They did good. So you can take the hit. So, you know, it's like when they didn't go after the left tackle. The most controversial thing about this staff was that many people thought they failed by not going after a left tackle early. They won. They proved you wrong. They won that battle. Just go back. Don't have a short memory. Have a long memory. People thought, big mistake. Well, maybe not. Maybe it was a gamble, but they won. When you draft corners, look like the old administration that you were so in love with. They failed in so many areas. Now it may go into Guinness Book. There may never have been a group with that many failures, colossal failures, at a number of different positions. Where you can't afford to fail at is corner, quarterback, and O-line. And they did it over and over. So we'll see. I'm not worried about the Giants or Buffalo. Buffalo's problem is that they happen to be in the same division with that bad man. And they haven't done anything strategically.
Same conference,
with that babe. And they haven't done anything strategically to break the Chiefs down. What everybody's got to figure out is that, okay, if you let Andy and company stay intact, get ready. Somebody better go after them strategically, take pieces away from their infrastructure, and hope you can get the mountain to come down.
You mean Nick Allegretti wasn't enough?
He's just a player. Yeah, you need to go GMs, coordinators.
Titans did take away Borgonzi, their assistant GM.
There you go. So you got to start taking away the brain.
We'll see.
Because right now, they weren't even the best team in the league this year.
No, but people believe, and it's hard to dispute this, when you have the arguably still the best quarterback in the game,
right?
Who is the ultimate winner and the best head coach in the game, you know, you can survive. There's more needed.
Their defense.
And people once again, always overlook.
You don't mention them. That's their superpower.
Exactly. And I know I knew exactly where you're going to go.
That's their superpower. Yeah.
People always boil it down to something simple, and it's never that simple. All right, trending alert time, and then more of your calls, I promise, on the other side. 301-230-0980. Here we go. All right, according to Ben Standing of The Athletic, both Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin and now Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels will not participate in the 2025 Pro Bowl game. So no tug of war and no flag football for Terry McLaurin and or Jaden Daniels. Now, they're saying Jaxon Smith-Njigba will replace McLaurin, who would have been next up because A.J. Brown is playing in the Super Bowl. They're calling it an injury for McLaurin, but Standing said he asked about the injury. No specifics were provided other than basic wear and tear, and basically they're saying the same thing, wear and tear from a long season for Jaden Daniels as well. So no Jaden Daniels, no Terry McLaurin, in case you were looking at something to watch for the Pro Bowl games, which are coming up. Baker Mayfield will replace Daniels. So that's the update there. Meanwhile, the Chicago, the ex-Chicago Chicago Bears head coach. Matt Eberflus, as we discussed earlier this hour, is once again rejoining the Dallas Cowboy organization, and that is as their new defensive coordinator under new head coach Brian Schottenheimer. Matt Eberflus returning to the organization, the Dallas Cowboys, as their defensive coordinator, which means Mike Zimmer is out. Brian Belichick, Bill Belichick's youngest son, is not going to be returning to the New England Patriots as their safeties coach, even though Mike Vrabel is the head coach, who is a protege of Bill Belichick. So we will see what happens there. And the Capitals in action tonight, 9 o'clock. They'll drop the puck late night at the Saddle Dome in Calgary against the Flames, who are 24-17-7. Pregame coverage at 8:45 on the 106.7 The Fan, the Odyssey app. Meanwhile, here we'll have St. John's and Georgetown at Capital One Arena, starting right after Craig Hoffman at 6:15 with the great Rich Fotkin on the call. And that's what's trending.
Although
Jackson 5 always gets you in a better mood now, doesn't it? You know,
oh, yeah.
So does watching The Messiah on television over Doc's shoulder. You know who
Michael?
The Messiah is, right?
MJ?
No. Aaron Glenn, baby.
A lot of respect for him. No, a lot of respect. You said Messiah, I thought Jordan.
Okay. I just wanted to see Doc's facial reaction.
No. A lot of respect for Aaron. You have to have been a Jet to feel that way.
Yeah.
Nobody else would want the job. But I know for you, it's home. It makes a lot of sense. For AMAC, he's laughing because he knows that the rivalry there is really no rivalry. But, you know, it's a New York thing. So, look, I stay out of that because I grew up Joe Willie, Sample, the Jets, to me, were Emerson Boos. It was so big. It was glamorous. So I never mock it. I feel bad for them, having been drugged through the mud like we've been drugged. I now know what it feels like to be irrelevant. So I stopped mocking them now that we've been one of them. And so, yeah, other than me poking the bear with you, with New York teams, I feel sorry for them.
Doc, I really wanted to just – I was teasing, obviously, about Aaron Glenn and, you know, whatever. Although his press conference yesterday was interesting. He's like, you guys, you can keep asking me about Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to keep telling you the same damn thing. We're in evaluation mode. And they got a new GM. They got a new GM that I've never even heard of.
Did the owner sell the team?
No.
Okay, all right.
He says he needs to be a better owner. Woody Johnson.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you hear Jay Gruden's response when I asked him about Dan Snyder and that article that came out over the weekend yesterday?
No. You know, I didn't follow any of that. And I know you knew I didn't because, again, I had the pleasure of working next to Big John for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't learn things from people that are wise men, then shame on you. He was very clear about it. Hear nothing, say nothing. And, I mean, I'd be the best listener in the world, but certain things stuck with me. Why would I chase trash? I don't chase trash. So it's very, for me to pay attention to you, I really have to value everything coming out of your mouth. And there's so few people in that. Now, with Jay Gruden, I have a high value system
mm-hmm.
with Coach. So if I heard, I didn't hear it, but if I'd heard it, I'm listening to Jay Gruden.
Go back and take a listen. You'll get a good chuckle out of it from yesterday's show. By the way, people can check out the podcast, theteam980.com.
I'm a Jay Gruden guy. I think Jay is so talented. As a matter of fact, one of my wishes to the football gods is that Jay Gruden would get back in the game.
Yeah.
Because he has so much to give to the
game.
Yeah,
I agree.
And I'd hope that making the money, he's probably making, he said, why would I go do that?
Yeah. It had to be the right situation for him to get back into it. And I guess
it
wasn't.
With the movement now with college.
Yeah. I always wish he would get into the college game.
Be,
yeah.
But it had to be a big
program.
But now
the college game is not the college game.
But that's why he's he's a.
When he first got fired here, I thought he would be perfect in college.
Because he's a personnel guy.
Yeah.
Jay is a unique guy. And again, I met him in arena. And I knew then that he had super skills because he was a player, coach, player, owner, player, everything. And when you grew up in a football family, some guys have privilege. Jay has taken advantage of those steps and enhanced himself, not just as a coach, but as because he absorbed everything.
Yeah,
he did a great job. If he got around people that really cared about him and protected him, he'd go right to the
top. What Jay needs, ideally, is for John to be forgiven for whatever and to get back into it. And there was a lot of rumors about that. And actually, I was just found something that Mark Davis said. I'll try and give you that in a little bit, but I want to go back to the calls and get as many of you guys in as we can. Just be patient. We will get to you. Let's start with Rob and Landover here on the Team 980. Rob, good afternoon. How are you? Rob? Right, we'll put Rob back on hold, see if we can check in with him, AMAC, if you don't mind. Let's go to Paul in D.C. next up on the Team 980. Paul, how are you?
Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. What's going on?
Nothing much. If I had the choice, I would fix up the offensive line. Because of my little years of watching football, I've always noticed that if you can control the clock and score, you know, it's almost impossible to lose. You know, you got 35-plus, control the ball for 35 minutes or more and get 24 points, it's going to be hard for the opposition team to beat you.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's easier said than done, right? And just because you have a great offensive line or a better offensive line doesn't mean you can always do that. But what does it do? It gives you a better chance, right? If you can, like to your overall point, if you can control the ball, you know, for 34, 35 minutes a game, you are not only keeping the opponent off the on the sideline, especially if they have an explosive offense, but think about it. You are wearing down their defense, which theoretically should make it easier to score, and you're protecting your defense, which you know, quite honestly, if you don't have a dominant defensive unit, which nobody would say that the Commanders do, you know, you need to protect them as much as possible and reduce the amount of possessions, which what happened in the, the Tampa Bay game, right, where Tampa only had seven possessions, eight possessions, whatever it was.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you, Rob. Paul, thank you. I was thinking about Rob, who we go back to now. Rob in Landover is indeed with us. Rob, how are you?
Hey, fellas, I'm great. How are y'all?
Good. Doing good, Rob. What's going on?
Hey, Doc, you know, we talked earlier in the season, and we thought this team was special. And come to find out, they were. But only if. And if they played like they played in Tampa, and if they played like they played in Detroit, we would be at the dance. I'm a little different. I thought our running back room was enough to get by this year, especially with Rodriguez still don't understand why he was inactive for the last 5-6 games. Don't understand that at all.
I don't like that at all either, and I know Doc has mentioned it several times today. So disappointed by that. The only thing I can think of, Doc, maybe I'm missing something. He's not a great receiver out of the backfield. Brian Robinson is not great, but he's serviceable, and Austin Ekeler obviously is. But they like Jeremy McNichols also in pass protection a little bit more.
I like them all, but
I thought we had enough.
But
I thought we had enough.
Yeah, Doc. I'm not trying to trick you.
Yeah,
I don't give a damn if you know we're running. That's what I'm saying. He's not. It's the artist in him, not the bully. I need more thug out of my play call.
Yeah.
See, I'm not.
Absolutely.
He's a deception because he's an artist.
That's right.
And I'm not. It's not a negative. Right. I love Cliff's.
Yeah, he's a Picasso at the pass game.
Exactly. He's brilliant.
He's a Picasso at the pass game.
I need a thug sometime to replace him to say, let me take over for 5 minutes. And I'm going to come in and try to beat you to death and then bring him back in and let him create. But, you can't change a person's personality. It's like them plays were called 50 gut was called 7 times in a row, but it wasn't called by the coach.
Right.
That's my point. Because the coach was an artist too, but the coach was a former offensive lineman.
Right.
It's who you got to be. Who you are.
It's the identity.
It's identity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Appreciate it, Rob. Well, thank you.
Rob. Hey, but look, but to answer your question, I think the defense, man, is the you gotta bring some animals on that defense. Who you trust 2 minutes? 2 minutes to go. Our defense? No. So it's easy. You gotta do something with the defense.
It's not even just that. I mean, of course you wouldn't trust them. Thank you, Rob. It's not even just that. It's like the first freaking play of the game, man. All week.
Can't make it.
All week, we banged our heads against the wall.
You know what?
Saying you can't tank. I mean, how many, if I had a dollar for how many times I said last week on this show in all the interviews I did, you can't have a 5 or 6 yard carry turn into a 50 or 60. First play of the game!
A-Mac was, I'm going to tell you something. It was almost funny to me because I knew A-Mac was somewhere screaming, laughing, because that's the most laughable thing I saw. All this huffing and puffing. The first play of the game, I said, it's only fitting that on the first play of the game, they went right to their power. Mm. They didn't throw. They didn't run. They said, take this. And they ran to Mulatto's side. They just went, if you can stand up to this, we'll shake your hand afterwards. If you can't, then you want to buy some Super Bowl tickets from us, we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
And that's the way I looked at it. And I swear to goodness, I saw his face smiling. Because what do you do when the opponent scores on the first play of the
game? It's not just scoring. It's how it happens
and to show you our character. Because if you didn't just fall apart after that, they didn't fall apart.
They didn't fall apart completely. I mean, there were times where they were teetering on extinction.
I know, but I'm just saying you, that showed me a lot.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you what, man. It was so funny to me because I knew Clarence Goldsboro Jr., Cowboy Hate, Cowboy Clay, was in stitches. I knew everybody that hates us was just in stitches. All this huffing and puffing. The first play of the game, and I thought then, now we're going to see what we're made of.
Yeah.
And you know what? We made it the right stuff because we came back and was going to do what we always do, make it competitive or win it in the end, and we just kept giving the ball back.
2:51 on the Team 980. We got to take a break, come back. We'll try and squeeze in one more here before the top of the hour on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.